Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly.
California does know how to party.
California does know how to party, and they are living it up tonight. We are recording on Sunday, April 15th. We just watched Alexander Rossi take the win at Long Beach.
California kid wins in California.
So, yeah, home state.
A little excited there.
A track he's been to many times as a spectator.
Finally winning.
Yep. Only been there a couple times as a driver, and he owned that track today.
He owned that track all weekend.
He really did.
Yeah, definitely.
So, well, let's warm up the tires.
Let's do.
Start things off with some news and just general news in IndyCar, news and some other motorsports, and then we'll move into a little bit more in-depth review of Long Beach.
And then we'll kind of finish it out with a little bit of Alabama.
Sounds good to me.
So we'll go from Cali to down south. So.
Yep, the dirty south.
Some news, some more Indy 500 news broke this week.
Sure did. So, J.R. Hildebrand is confirmed with DRR, which is Dryden Rheinbold Racing, mm-hmm. and Salesforce. So he made the number 34 car. And then James Davison, who we've been talking about since November, basically.
Yeah.
But he officially announced as well. So he will be the third car with AJ Foyt. The car number is 33.
Yep.
We're both 33 this year, which I'm pretty sure means he's going to win the Indy 500.
And there will be 33 cars in the field.
Yes. So it's a very lucky number.
Saying that out loud.
Putting it out there.
Yeah.
So it's AJ Foyt also partnering with Bird Racing mm-hmm. and Baladri.
Yes.
And they are an Indy Lights team.
Yeah, they're a Lights team. So that's exciting to see another Lights team kind of stepping up and starting to partnership.
I love that. I love all of the smaller teams that are, you know, jumping up to the IndyCar season or series.
Right. And I think the IMS is kind of the place where they kind of put their toe in the water and say, okay, how can we do this? Which is interesting because it's a pretty big race and a very expensive race.
It is a very expensive race. But, I mean, if you're going to prove yourself in any race, the Indy 500 is the one to do it in.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's rumors of a 36th car. Day First tweeted earlier during one of the practice sessions that there was a rumor around the paddock in Long Beach that there was a rookie with some money. And then later on, they had an interview with Juan Petrohedra, and he indicated that he has the money. He's got everything. He's actually just looking for that engine, which I think has to be a Chevy at this point. I think Honda's full.
I think you're correct on that. So, yeah, I think it does have to be a Chevy. And somebody we haven't talked about in a couple weeks that nobody's really mentioned is Buddy Lazier.
Yeah.
And it was assumed that he wasn't going to run. And then I heard quite a few rumors that he has every intention of trying to qualify.
Yeah.
So he could be number 37.
Yeah, but he's never kind of said the official yes.
But I don't know how official he...
I just don't know.
I don't feel like he really makes that official a statement any year.
I would imagine at this point with everybody questioning, I probably would have stepped in and been like, no, I'm showing up, guys.
I mean, he probably wants to just minimize how much people are going to mock him. I mean, the less time in advance they know about it, the fewer jokes they can make.
I mean, challenge accepted.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, if Lazier attempts to qualify and he does not get bumped out of the field, like, I will eat fucking crow.
Yeah, I 100%. We both will.
I will be shocked if he does not get bumped.
Oh, go ahead and put him in the bumped category.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much. I mean, and if somehow he makes it in, I will eat my words.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you.
So maybe that's the decision that he's weighing as well. Is it worth it?
But is it worth it?
Because
Buddy, you're already on the bubble.
Yeah. Buddy lives on the bubble.
Buddy lives on the bubble.
He's usually not fast enough.
Oh my God. Buddy.
So, right, some other races. So there was IMSA racing at Long Beach this weekend as well.
There was quite a few races in Long Beach.
There were, and if you watched the IndyCar race today, you saw there was lots and lots of rubber on the track because there were all kinds of series out there.
Yeah, I think it was IMSA. They had a Formula Drift, of course, the IndyCar and
Super Trucks.
There you go.
Yeah, they had Super Trucks as well.
Super Trucks. I really want them at the IMS.
That would be super fun at the IMS.
Like the road course, let them run the road course.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
I'd get into that.
All about that.
Oh yeah.
Trucks jumping ramps, let's go.
Let's do it.
Let's do this. So, yeah, IMSA was at Long Beach. Penske showed up.
They did.
They polled, so Juan polled.
All right.
And then Castro Neves got third position to start, but then they ended up finishing fifth and sixth. Juan was fifth and Travis was sixth. So they showed up and they did okay, but...
Did better in qualifying than I did at the big dance.
Yeah. Kind of feel like that's a... Penske's having a kind of cranky...
Yeah. It's not been...
It's not been that... We're only three races in.
Well, and yeah, for IMSA, I don't even know that it's three races.
It's their third race.
Is it? Okay.
Because we had Daytona, Sebring, and now
London. Oh, yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's not been the strong start to their season, I think, that Roger Penske would have hoped for.
I agree.
So, I imagine all team meetings with RP are quite uncomfortable for everybody involved on that team.
I don't want to sit in that.
No, I don't want to be on the team meeting this week.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. I'm going to go home.
I'm cool. So, yeah, first place went to a Cadillac.
Yep.
And second place, a Nissan. And the third place was a Cadillac as well.
Yeah, and that was the LMP, so the prototypes.
Yes. And then the GTM class ran as well. And then 1, 2, 3 for them. Car engine manufacturer-wise was Corvette. And then Ford had second and third. And those are both Ganassi cars.
Yep. You know, there was also a NASCAR race today.
There was a NASCAR race today, or so we heard.
Yes.
So there was a race in Bristol when we showed up to watch the IndyCar race. Rain was leading.
Yes, and I think Rain won.
I'm pretty sure Rain won.
He at least led the most laps.
So. Yeah. So when we left the bar, Rain was still winning Bristol.
Was it still on?
Actually, I think it was not even on anymore. But
we're in Indiana. They switched over to the Pacer game at one point.
They did, yeah. But yeah, so we're not sure. Results pending on Bristol.
It was the same time with the IndyCar race. I can't promise you anything. And then also earlier today, the Formula One Chinese Grand Prix ran. So first place was Daniel Ricciardo from Red Bull, and I kind of like Daniel Ricciardo as a driver. I think he's got a really nice attitude.
Yeah, he does.
So I liked to see him win. Second was Bottas, and then third was Kimi Raikkonen.
All right.
So second was Mercedes, third was Ferrari. So the standings is Vettel for Ferrari, Hamilton is in second for Mercedes, and then Bottas is third for Mercedes. And I guess next week they're in Azerbaijan.
All right.
Which I actually think I was them in my mock UN class.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Anyway, not important for the podcast, but.
Well, look at you.
I was very excited. Oh, I was them for mock UN. Cool.
Yeah, we didn't actually do that at my school.
This was college.
Yeah, man. I didn't get involved with things like that in college. I know you did a lot of political science bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, when you're a poly major, that's kind of one of the big things they make you do.
Yeah.
International politics. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, nope. A solid science degree. Nobody gives a shit.
That's okay.
I mean, you get a lot of lessons on, people are going to have different customs and things that might be weird to you. Don't act like it's weird.
Right. Don't act weird.
Right. Treat them respectfully. That's
be cool.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, be cool.
Be cool.
Or as Alicia says, the only rule you need to know in life, just don't be a dick.
I think that's a great rule.
She's like, forget the golden rule. There's just one rule in life. Just don't be a dick.
I mean, I really feel like that's the golden rule in the 21st century.
Basically is, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick. So the NHRA, we did not have any activity.
We didn't have any activity.
But they had a big weekend last week in Vegas.
Yeah, I think they kind of schedule it so they take a couple of weeks between their big events. So,
yeah, they do. So, all right. So the Long Beach Review, I caught just some of the practice sessions.
So, I mean, the biggest things about the practice sessions is you had a lot of drivers off.
Yeah.
A lot of them are just kind of in the runoffs. We didn't have a whole lot. Let's see. I didn't have a whole lot of... contact. Sato crashed in T1 in the second practice session, but turn 9, turn 8 caught Rossi, caught Pagano, Kimball. Let's see. And then the third practice session, Veach was in the runoff, and I think Zachary Clement DeMello laced. Oh, King hit the wall in practice 3. And even the warm up this morning that I didn't write down, but I sent myself an email, and I don't know. But somebody else got in the runoff. What was interesting is, did you see Newgarden's penalty?
No.
So between the first practice session and the second practice session, he apparently missed the mandatory weigh-in.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so we had to sit out the final 10 minutes, which I think with Sato crashing actually worked in Newgarden's.
It ended up working in his favor. But yes, yeah, you know what? I did briefly see that.
Somebody said it was because he was signing autographs or somebody, a fan, made him late. And I was like, well... That means whoever around him didn't go, he has to go to a mandatory weigh-in.
Right.
Because I feel like IndyCar fans have been like, no, you got to go to the weigh-in. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Or maybe go way in before you start signing autographs.
Just saying.
I mean, I would handle all of my business first.
Yeah. And then I'll be like, I'm here to sign.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
So who knows? But yeah, he was supposed to sit out the last 10 minutes, but well, turns out I think Sato's crash kind of cut it early.
It did. So it did not really make too much of a difference.
It didn't.
Qualifying, I'll tell you what, there were, I definitely thought that we'd see our favorite Canadians in the top six.
Thank you.
They did okay, and then they just were not holding it together.
Yeah, they both kind of got to the fast 12, but they didn't make it out of that.
No.
And I, yeah, or, yes, 12.
Yeah. Yeah, and they, I mean, they tried hard, but yeah, they just could not pull it together.
No. Oh, you know what we have to talk about? RHR and the transponder.
Oh, yes.
So, this year, they've started something new. I don't know if it's... No, I think it was this year, because 2 years ago, Simon... There was a whole kerfluffle about if Simon had crossed the line appropriately when he blended in and passed Dixon. So, this year, they actually embedded a transponder in the cement. And during qualifying... And so, there's a transponder in the cement, there's a transponder in the car, and you have to pass over it.
Yeah.
The transponders have to line up.
Yes.
It's not one of those like, well, you're in the area. It's like, nope, they need to line up. Apparently, Ryan Hunter-Reay's transponder did not line up. And so he was forced, he had a penalty because of that. So he was pissed because he didn't apparently know about it or something like
well,
that.
Well, and his reason for being pissed, because the center of his car was too far to the right.
Yeah.
And his reason for being pissed was that there was yellow paint and then it went to white paint and then mm-hmm. it just stopped. And he thought that it should have been yellow all the way. And it's like, because it's been yellow all the way in years past up until that line where he had crossed over.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that there was other paint. It's not your first time there. And stop your bitching.
Well, and what was great really was that they had like the video of Ryan bitching to his crew. And every single announcer nailed home the fact that the drivers were told multiple times.
Including
like... the driver's meeting where it was apparently stressed very hardly. And so they're like, yeah, Ryan's complaining, but he should have known better.
Yeah, I loved that. The announcers basically called him out and they were like, he's whining like a little bitch. And they were like, and, you know, he said, you know, I don't think it's fair and this and that. And the announcers, I mean, they talk such shit. I mean, one of them was like, well, nobody else seems to have a problem with it. It's like everybody managed to cross
what
it,
to do, Ryan.
Knew where to be on the track. So maybe it's you.
Just, you knew.
Yeah, you knew.
You knew, and it just didn't happen for you. Sorry. Yeah. Take
quit,
penalty.
Quit trying to blame somebody else. You made a poor decision in that moment. Move on.
Go sit in the corner with Will Power and Tim Sindrick, and you can all bitch together.
Yes, you can all hug each other and cry about how life's not fair.
Go sit in the whiny timeout corner. Just go.
Wearing your dirty pee pants. So, other qualifying. Newgarden should have definitely qualified better, but he kissed the wall.
I think it was more than a kiss.
Yeah.
It was like a first base kiss.
It was like a love bite.
Yes.
The way that like a lion love bites a zebra or an antelope.
Yes.
Yeah, it was fairly aggressive.
Yeah.
So I know that was disappointing for Newgarden. You could see that on his face.
Yeah, he was not happy about that.
No. Rossi, however, killed it all weekend.
All weekend. He led practice two, practice three, he qualified on the pole, and then this in the warm-ups this morning, he was P1.
Mm-hmm.
It was his weekend.
It was his weekend.
Just want to say to everybody, I called it last season.
You did.
I just want to point that out there.
You did call it last season.
I'm really tired of all the announcers like, yeah, he's really turning around. Yeah, he is. Thank you. Some of us have been saying this for a while. Okay.
You have been saying that for quite a while.
I mean,
this really is going to be his season.
He's
just doing so well.
I think this is going to be the start of a very strong domination. I mean, Indy is always going to be different because it's Indy and...
You just never know what...
I mean, the track chooses the driver.
Yeah,
like
you really
say.
Cannot predict who's going to win Indy.
No, you can't. You can guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's part of why I enjoy our illegal betting that we do is because, you know, it's you really can't predict who's going to win.
Like, there are no odds. It's just,
Yeah. Just shut your eyes, point to a driver on the front page of the Star.
Yeah, just about. So, let's see. I think we hit quals. Are you ready to go into the race?
I think so. Let's start out with lap one, turn one.
Let's start out with lap one,
turn one. Lap one, turn one, which is as far as Pagano made it in this race because Rahal slammed right into the back of him like an asshole.
We've watched the replay, and it's like bumper cars. We just hit the guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened.
And, took him out for the rest of the race.
Yeah, he was done. I'm heartbroken because it's Pagano, and he's a very good guy, and he's a very good driver.
And he just makes for good competitive racing.
He does.
I think he definitely could have given Rossi a run for his money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he's aggressive as well. And with what we saw from Bourdais. the two of them both are...
Very aggressive.
Very aggressive, but very skilled.
Yes.
Very reactive drivers.
Yes.
They are proactive and reactive, you know? Right. Bourdais had that awesome pass.
Oh, my gosh. That was the coolest pass ever.
It really was, like his team said. We completely agree. That was the coolest pass we've ever seen, yeah. So I'm sad for Pagano.
I was. I mean, it was...
Well, and Rahal should have known better. There was too much traffic going into that turn. There was no fucking way you were going to get through there.
Now, I guess he came out and said that his back tire's locked up and he couldn't brake, but I feel like you were... I mean, it was an unfortunate situation.
Even if his tires had not locked up...
He was too close.
He was too close, and he was trying to pass too many cars in a spot right before a turn anyway.
Yeah.
That was not really a safe place to try and make a pass.
It's not one of those places you can make a pass.
No, and as much as Rahal is the first one to bitch when any other driver does something that is the least bit adventurous like that, then he does something like this, and then afterwards he's like, it messed up my car too. Were you able to finish the race?
But did you finish the race?
Oh, and you finished single digits? So I don't think that it did mess up your car quite as much.
It really messed up your... Although, God, this was a weird race, now that I think about it, with car issues.
Yeah.
Because, Wickens went down for car issues.
He did. He had an issue with his gearbox.
They had to sit on him for a while. They had pieces of that car were removed and replaced.
I mean, by the time the race was over, he was down, 20 laps.
Mm-hmm. Sato, I still don't know what was wrong with Sato's car.
No.
But he sat in the pits for quite a long time.
He sure did. Lots of people had to have pieces replaced.
Yeah. By the way, Graham did have to do a drive-through penalty.
Damn right he did, because that was avoidable contact.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I was going to be pissed if he didn't get a penalty for avoidable contact on that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Simon would have read somebody the Riot Act in English and French.
Yes, both. You know what? People make a lot of fun about the French language, but if you are mad and are yelling in French, it's very threatening.
It is very threatening.
It's a very threatening language. I'm just going to put that out there.
I mean, it can sound very beautiful, but it can sound very scary.
It can also sound very cranky.
Yes.
It can be a cranky language. let's see. I don't know what Kaiser's penalty was for. Oh, it was a lane entrance, so I'm not sure what happened. We never saw that.
Yep.
Sometimes it's hard to catch everything.
Dixon. Before he got screwed, because they talked earlier that, you know, a lot of seasons, it takes Dixon a couple races to really get comfortable, and then he really, you know, because he doesn't talk that much on the radio, that's part of the Iceman thing. Part of it's just how he drives.
Yeah.
He's just as cool as a cucumber. And I appreciate that, because I'm a person, if I'm playing a game of dice or something, I feel like I need or even euchre. You know, I feel like the first game is my warm-up. I need to get into it.
The installation lap.
Yes, exactly. I need to kind of get my feet wet a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were about halfway through the race, and it was like Dixon found his groove and came over the radio, and he just said, "All right, now we're going to have some fun."
Which is amazing.
It is amazing, because he hardly says anything, and then he comes over, "Now we're going to have some fun."
I mean, I want that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, I would make that on fun. The t-shirt.
Scott Dixon.
Oh, so we talked about the Bourdais pass. Unfortunately, because he crossed a line, he did have to give up a position, which he got back in, three quarters.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Well, and he was not happy about having to give it up, and his strategist came back and said, "Yes, we agree. We've discussed it. They are not reversing their decision. They are not going to go back on their decision." And so even when they told him, he was like, "That's a bunch of bullshit," and they were like, "Yes, we know." He said something else that we did not understand, and they said, "You need to give up that position. They're watching us."
Which is amazing.
It is amazing. So he gave it up, and then not even 30 seconds passed it. Yeah, got it right back.
It's well, that was He just farted in the face of race control.
He did. I mean, honestly, except for the fact that he didn't win, this Bourdais was the person race to watch, yes, in this race. This was an awesome race for him.
I will say we were actually the live NBC feed was the nose cone when he got hit and flipped around, and we're all like, this is an amazing shot. And then the camera angle just looped on you.
And we were all like, what the hell just happened?
What happened?
So he got screwed by Jordan King.
Yes.
Who was trying to pass Hinch.
Yes.
And at some point, Bourdais...
Hinch. It was Hinch later on.
Hinch later on, yeah. Was like, who was that?
Hinchcliffe is taking names.
Yeah, he's taking names. He's got an after party tonight, but I don't think it's the kind that you want to be invited to. There's an after party with a few drivers in Hinchcliffe tonight. And... you know what? I bet Bourdais is one of the organizers of the event, yeah, as well.
I think it's called a blanket party, and if you've watched A Few Good Men, you know what I'm talking about.
And I'm pretty sure Pagano's got the blankets ready to go. That's what he did, since he wasn't actually in this race.
Exactly.
But Bourdais had a hell of a race. But yeah, he got bumped by Jordan King, who was trying to pass Hinch, and yeah, somebody came to the radio and said, yeah, you hit the guy who was in front of the guy you were trying to pass.
I know. Which takes talent, I think, of another kind.
Yeah.
Jordan. I had so much hopes for Jordan.
Ugh.
He had a really great showing at St. Petersburg.
He really did. And
I mean, we both got screwed. We picked him for the other.
Yeah, for our fantasy leagues. And yeah. Nope. Definitely got screwed on
did
that.
Did not get any points in that one.
Definitely got screwed on that.
We had, as much shit as we give. So Zachary Clamondemello hit the wall in the hairpin. Rossi had just pitted. We flipped over to a full course yellow, and Dixon and Bourdais thought that they were going to be able to sneak into the pit, and they were not able to cross the pit line before the yellow went out. The pit's closed.
Correct. And so Bourdais, they were already moving in,
yes,
and it was a no-go before they crossed the line.
Yes.
But I don't, they showed the screen and it's, you know, not being in the car. I don't know how much time there is to actually like flip back over to the other lane.
Right. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Can you ditch it or no?
Yeah. Can you really, is that really something that's safe to do?
Yeah.
And so Bourdais did not actually go into his pits. He just did a drive-through.
Right.
And then he received a drive-through as a penalty, which... Or did they count that as his penalty?
I believe that they actually, I'm not sure, but I think they might have even counted that.
They might have counted that as his penalty, since he did not actually stop in his pit.
Right.
Dixon did stop in his pit because,
yeah,
his steering wheel, their instant messaging system, which is one of the ways that they communicate, you know, yellows and debris and different things like that, which again is why we need to have audible flagging.
Yeah.
Because you could also come over and say the pits are closed.
Yeah.
But... because there's so much, I mean, just overstimulation of everything.
God, yeah.
To be able to recognize every little thing. That's why we have all these different, mm-hmm, different pieces of technology. But his steering wheel in the IM system said okay to enter pits.
Yeah.
And so even though there was a yellow flag and there was something else that was saying, you know, that was a red X to not enter the pits, he didn't see that. He looked at his steering wheel, said okay to enter the pits, and he entered the pits.
Yeah.
And race control saying that that was from a prior yellow flag, to which I'm pretty sure Dixon responded, not my fucking problem,
right,
bro.
Like, should have updated your system.
Yeah.
Like,
that sounds like a race control problem, not a Scott Dixon problem. Yeah. Because in actuality,
no,
I would say that he did not deserve that penalty, because, mm-hmm, if the equipment that he has that is one of the things that he can use, if they all count equally and that, mm-hmm, equipment is not updated properly, that's not his fault.
I mean, I would be interested. I don't know. And I think that's the frustrating thing is we don't know. I mean, there's a whole, and I'm not going to get into it, but there's a whole school of thought and laws as to what is higher than what. Somebody's,
yes,
saying something is higher than this, which is higher than like an official statement or whatnot. But if his equipment was saying he could have pitted and he couldn't, I don't know if a drive-through would have been the appropriate penalty.
Yeah, I don't think that it was, especially on this course.
Yeah.
And well, and the military has that as well.
Yeah.
The most recent command you heard is the correct,
yes,
one, or the command from the highest officer.
So
whichever it is, you know. However, you know, sometimes
there's
it
factors.
Can, yeah, there's, you know, it can be like, okay, all of these, you know, flags, radio,
mm-hmm,
and then visual on your steering wheel. And if they all count the exact same.
True. And it depends. And I think if his steering wheel was saying this.
Because I feel like in IndyCar, they would all have to count the exact same because things happen so fast. I mean, the point would be for them to be integrated. Otherwise.
It should be. It should be. I just don't know enough about their systems. But I think if one thing was telling him one thing and the other wasn't, that's a mitigating factor, and it should have been just like maybe a give up a position.
Yes, unless, and we can review the rules for this, if it's something like if there's a conflict, then you err on the side of caution,
yeah.
on the side of you're not allowed to rather than you are allowed to. And if that is stated clearly in the rules, yeah. that you should err on the side of assuming no and not assuming yes, in that case, then he earned it.
Yeah, so we'll see. But, yes, they told him to do a drive-thru, and he decided to wait a little bit.
And he was still saying, get fucked, race control. They were like, we need you to pull into the pits, and Scott said...
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Nope.
And he just drove right on by.
I mean, he did eventually serve it, but...
The next time.
The next lap, he took that lap, you know, he's like, I'm gonna make up some speed in this lap. And then I will serve my penalty.
And he almost made it back into the top 10. He ended up finishing 11th. But yeah. I will say that, his team did have to come over and let him know that, in fact, he was going to have to pull into the pits.
No, but you need to pull in, Scott. You know, he's like, fine.
Fine.
I won't like it.
Well, and I'm sure that they were still
attempting
to appeal with IndyCar.
I think there was a moment where they said, we're figuring it out.
Yeah, we're figuring it out. So, like, that's another thing. He's not going to pull in and serve a penalty that then they're going to get taken back.
Yeah, like, I would have lost my shit.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not pulling in until this is a final fucking decision.
Mm-hmm. I want something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I'm... He was not the happiest I've seen him after this race, I'll tell you that.
He wasn't, and he's generally okay after a race, but he seemed a little salty.
Well, and he was pretty salty with the decision to pit at that time in general. It didn't seem like he actually wanted to pit or cared at all, but when the yellow came, he was given the command to pit.
Yes.
And although he didn't agree with it, he followed orders, and then he got screwed on a penalty. Got and him. So I think that he was shitty about pitting on that yellow anyway, mm-hmm. and then he... Well, as he said, they shot themselves in the foot. But yeah, he got fucked pretty hard on that. I mean, that screwed him out of a podium. That screwed him out of a top 10 finish.
Because mm-hmm. he was like third or fourth at that point.
Yeah, he was third.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was second. Because it was Rossi, right. Dixon, Will.
Yeah.
So yeah, he was second.
Yeah, I would have been real cranky at that moment.
Yeah, in fact, he was much nicer than I probably would have been.
I would have just been like, no interviews.
Yeah, no comment.
No, thank you.
No comment.
Can't say anything. And apparently, and I'll have to check on this, there was some weird issue of the reorder.
Yeah.
Shuffling of the lap cars, because they got all mixed up.
They sure did with all the yellows that we had in the back half of the race. And then there's, you know, lap traffic getting in the mm-hmm. way of other cars. And with that yellow, everybody was bunched together. And so, yes, they were trying to move all the lap traffic to the back of the field. So that the cars that were on the lead lap could be on the lead lap
and
could race with one another and not, you know, get taken out by somebody who's not in contention for anything.
Which is fine. Which is great. But I guess there was some...
It is great because, I mean, we had issues with that last year at Mid-Ohio.
Yeah.
And that's one of the races as to why they have changed the rules on this.
Yep, that's exactly why.
And why they do this. And, there was a bit of a kerfluffle per Dixon about where he should have been in that because there was some lap traffic in front of him that shouldn't have been...
I think that's exactly right.
On the restart, and they were trying to sort that out, and that did not get sorted out before the final green. I would not be surprised in the least if Chip Ganassi is filing all kinds of grievances with race control this week.
I would have. If I was any part of the Ganassi team, I've been like, well, let me go.
Yeah, I'd be like, well, yeah, all of the attorneys at Chip Ganassi watched that race and went, well, guess our weekend's over.
All right.
Monday morning starts now.
Somebody order some pizza.
We've got a lot of scary, litigious things to write.
Somebody made a coffee run and a pizza run, because that's what attorneys do in the middle of the night. Like, we got to write what? Somebody get coffee. Somebody get pizza. Let's go. So it wasn't Scott's race. It was, unfortunately, Ryan Hunter-Reay.
Well, I will say it was very unfortunate for Scott because... up until then, he was in second. He was running a very good race. And I think that Scott is one of the few drivers that can
bounce back
mm-hmm. and that can give Rossi a run for his money on strategery.
Yes.
Because Rossi played a mind game with Will, which we'll get to.
God. Yes.
But I think that Dixon would not have fallen for Rossi's games.
No.
And so I think that the first and second place, had Dixie stayed where he was, that between him and Rossi, it would have been intense.
I don't know if I could have handled that.
It would have been intense.
I don't think I could have handled that. I would have just been on the ground in the fetal position. It was definitely not RHR's weekend.
No, it was not.
No, he just... Like, his nose cone...
His nose cone got hit when Bourdais got... smacked
yeah.
by King. RHR has enough experience that he was able to stop the car and not totally, you know, smash it, but it took off some of the front wing of Bourdais, and it fucked up RHR's nose cone.
And that was his second nose cone repair.
It was his second nose cone.
Like, his two, and as they mentioned on the broadcast, which, now that I hear it, makes 100% sense, because of the new cameras, that front nose cone isn't the switch that it used to be.
Yeah, it's a little more involved to switch
that
out.
You gotta, like, hook up your appliances now.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, that makes sense. Well, I bet that is a little bit more of a...
Yeah.
A CF.
Which, as a driver, I'd be like, fuck that camera, put it on, let's go.
We're not winning, go!
Yeah, like, I don't care, I don't give a shit about this nose cone camera view.
Right, not right now, I'm trying to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could plug it in later.
Yeah.
He's like, isn't there technology for this?
Shouldn't it just be a plug and play?
Right, isn't there Wi-Fi of some sort? What do we need to be plugged into?
Honest to Pete, that'd been my answer.
Just saying.
Is this not on Wi-Fi? I don't want it on my car.
I'm just saying, I took my GoPro 135 feet below the surface of the ocean, and I didn't have to hook it into a goddamn thing.
We can't just do that with the nose cone.
We can't just do that with the nose cone? I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Right, but now that I see that it makes the nose cone repair a little bit more of a shit show.
Yeah, and so... I love that view, but I don't think that that's going to be something that drivers or teams enjoy, is that it creates longer pit stops.
Mm-hmm. Definitely adds to the pit stop. So it wasn't RHR's. He started off strong.
He did start off strong.
And then it just went downhill.
Yeah. Well, and he did fairly well in qualifying.
Fairly well.
Yeah. Like, he did, but it was, you know, he's just, was kind of up and down. It's like, some things would go really well and then other things would just not go his way at all.
I mean, he was in the fast six. I only scrolled the top three down, so I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's just not a great race for Ray Hall.
But you know, for RHR.
For RHR. Damn it.
But yeah, Ray Hall started fifth and finished fifth.
There you go.
Which I was actually surprised he made it into the fast six. I mean, because Ray Hall does, I mean, he does all right. He does solid. He's, you know, but sometimes he kind of creeps up and I forget that, you know.
Yeah, sometimes I forget that Ray Hall exists as a driver.
Yes. He's very forgettable. And I don't know why that is.
I don't, it's not anything personal.
No.
But all of a sudden, I'm like, Ray Hall's here?
I'm like, oh, that's right. He does race full time.
He's here full time. Okay. Because, like, he does really well. Like, Detroit last year, he won it back to back.
Back to back.
Fantastic. And then,
Happened?
What happened to Ray Hall?
Yeah, so.
I don't know how to fix that.
I don't either.
Not my problem.
Yeah, I mean, him and RHR, I feel like that with both of them.
I think only because I Rossi's one of my drivers, that RHR, because he's in Andretti Autosport, it's kind of in the back of my head, but.
Yeah.
Graham just kind of hangs out there.
Yeah, he just kind of hangs out there as well.
He just, hashtag, just Graham things.
Just Graham things.
It's fine.
Sato, not doing much of anything this season.
No.
So, yeah. And we really haven't seen any interaction. I mean, a lot of the other teams have been putting out pretty entertaining, clips and videos and just different things to get people excited about the season, excited about the sport. We've not seen any of that from
Ray Hall, Letterman Lanning.
There we go. Yep. RLL. And yeah, so we've not seen any interaction really between Sato and Ray Hall. I mean, do they even speak to one another? I literally don't know that I've even seen them side by side this entire season.
I don't think I can answer that question for you.
I mean, I've not even seen them, I've not seen video of them even speak to one another.
They don't.
I mean, that's how I was when my sister was born. I mean, I don't want her here. I'm just going to pretend like she doesn't exist. I mean, so maybe Ray Hall's pulling the, you know...
The older sibling,
where there's too many years between you and the next one, and you're like, no, this is my kingdom.
You're like,
I will not share it.
What is this?
And it's like, well, they're here to stay. Well, I'm just not going to talk to them. I'm just not going to acknowledge that they exist.
Not until I push them outside and lock the door on them.
Right. And I'm going to tell them they were adopted.
Yep.
And that they were born with a tail.
Or another gender, in my case. Or, as apparently I've done, and I still dispute this story till this day, I've pushed my younger brother off of a bunk bed. That is not the story, but that's what my parents keep saying.
Well, I 100% did convince my sister that she was born with a tail.
But no, we had Harrison believing he was a girl for a little bit.
He would have made a pretty girl.
You know.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
He's got nice cheekbones.
He does.
Yeah. Thick eyebrows. I mean, yeah.
Oh, God, I know.
I mean, he'd need a little waxing, but yeah. We could shape those up real nice.
I could give him the woman who does mine. It's fine.
Yeah. So yeah, I haven't really seen too much interaction between the two of them, and we just haven't seen very much out of Sato.
No.
I mean, here and there he does well, but...
That's how it is with Sato. Like, you have a flash of something.
And you're like, oh, that's right, he can do really well. And then a race happens, and you're like, you can, but you don't. Why?
But what happens?
Yeah, what... Why? Why do you just stop trying?
Why do you hate me?
Yeah. I don't.
I know.
Let's see. What other quotes did we have from the radio that were hilarious?
Really, all the ones that I wrote down. Yeah, we're going to have fun. That was the coolest pass ever. We agree. We discussed with them. They're not going to back down on their decision. And then Hinch is... Who hit me?
Yeah. Hinch. After the race was all done... After the checkered flag, he was like, all right, who was it that hit me earlier? Mm-hmm. And they were like, Jordan King, rookie, making a pass for blah, blah.
His team literally just went, Jordan King, like almost
right, pointed. Yeah. They were like, Jordan King, rookie, date of birth, 12-14-80.
Ed Carpenter Racing, here's his home address.
Yeah, home address, such here's and such. Telephone. Number. Yeah, no, it's seriously. Well, but he's Canadian. It's probably they wouldn't give that information to an American.
No,
like a Canadian, they tell it to James Hinchcliffe, and he just walks down and he's like, "Hey, buddy, I did not appreciate that. Okay, I'm sorry I had to yell at you there.
I'm not about that.
Yeah,
sorry.
I did not appreciate what you did there.
Sorry.
I'm really sorry for yelling. Yes.
There are no tidbits for you.
Yeah.
You are banned from Tim Hortons. I mean, I wouldn't put it past Hinch, though, to ban him from Tim Hortons.
I wouldn't put it past him either.
He probably has that power.
I think he does.
I'm guessing.
I think so. I bet he's got some sway with the Canadian government. Maybe he can get me into the country.
There you go.
I mean, if not this year, definitely 2019.
We're going to Toronto.
After August of this year, I'll be able to get it on my own.
But you know who had a fantastic weekend? Mattia Rossi did.
Yes, he did.
Oh my gosh, he rolled off of that truck ready to go.
I mean, he just did great all weekend.
He did great
in practice,
all
in qualifying. Mm-hmm. He won the pole and he won.
And it was like not even like qualifying. He went out, he did a lap, and then he kind of sat for a while. And he just put out like one or two laps, and he was like, I'm done.
Right? Like, he was like, yep, nope, I'm good, guys.
I'm good, it's fine.
And they're like, do you want any more? He's like, no, we're cool.
No,
like,
we're good.
No,
we got
no,
it, we got it, we
I'm
got
good.
It. He did like two, I think he made.
I said good day.
Good day, sorry.
I said good day.
What I found hysterical was the, during the qualifying, so his group and then the Fast 12, he would jump the start.
Mm-hmm.
They would go, and he would fly up pit lane. Not fly up pit lane, Avi, but he would pass 14,000 people immediately. And then for qualifying the final Fast 6, he did not. He actually sat in the pit box. And the announcers were like, were you playing mind games with them? Like, you were jumping out real quick the first two, and then this time you didn't even go out. Were you trying to play mind games? And he just went, no, the first two were just practicing pit exits. Like, nope. No, we were not. Nope.
Nope. No mind games. We're just handling our shit. I'm just Rossi doing Rossi things. Just handling Rossi. Like,
hashtag
let Rossi handle Rossi.
There you go.
Let Rossi handle Rossi.
Let Rossi handle Rossi. Put that on a t-shirt. I'd wear it every day.
Yes. I mean, that's pretty much Rossi's motto. He's like, you know what? Why don't you worry about you and I'll worry about me.
Look, let me do me.
Let Rossi handle Rossi.
Let Rossi handle Rossi. There you go, guys. Let's get this trending.
Right? I mean, you know, that's what we always say about Lisha whenever we like are partying. And because sometimes Beth is like, is Lisha okay? She need this? She need that? And I'm just like, let Lisha handle Lisha. Lisha's got Lisha.
Let Rossi handle Rossi.
Rossi's got Rossi. Let Rossi handle Rossi.
I'm going to start this every time he wins a race because this is the start. This is the start.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to talk about the mind games that happened at the end of that race.
So, yes.
So, push to pass. It is the final restart. How many laps do you have in that restart? Like,
A little more than 10.
A little more than 10. Power had 120 seconds.
Or no, it was more than that because it was like 16 when Dixon served his drive-thru.
Yeah.
So.
No, 14 laps ago was the hairpin. That was the last yellow.
Oh, okay. So Dixon served his penalty before the last yellow. That's right.
Maybe 12 or 10.
Yeah. Then that 10 to 12 area. So, yeah. So they go back green again. And Power had like 118.
120 seconds. Rossi had 68 seconds of push to pass.
And so Power had almost twice as much as he did. And I said to the people at our table before the green flag, you know, because they were like, he's got so much more. And I just said, Rossi just has to punch it getting out. I said, spread the gap. I go, and then he just has to hold him off.
Yeah.
I said, he doesn't have, he's got a faster car.
He does.
He doesn't have to, he's got clean air and he's got the fastest car on the track. So he just had to hold him off. And he did better than that.
He did.
He didn't just hold him off. He
baited him.
He baited him.
Yes.
And got him to run down all of his push to pass.
And I think part of it was Will could chase him down on the straightaways, but that car that Rossi had took those corners so fast. You could just see the second differential creep up when it was a straightaway. But once Rossi hit those corners, it just dropped back down.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. Yeah, I think.
And it wasn't even every straightaway, because some of the straightaways, Rossi had hit the push to pass too and would
keep going.
Yeah. And Will wouldn't gain any speed on him at all.
I think about two laps to go, Will had 15 seconds from 120. Rossi had 26 seconds from 68. I mean, he basically baited Will to use all of his push to pass.
Yeah.
It still won.
And still won.
It was amazing.
I mean, and Will had almost twice as much, and he baited him to just use it up for really nothing.
Yeah.
And then there was so much space between Will Power and Jordan, or Ed Jones.
Yeah.
Which was crazy. It just shows you, I mean, how much they were using that push to pass to really
keep going,
gain speed, because there was such a huge separation between second and third. But oh my gosh, Rossi toyed with Power today.
Oh, it was
like a cat and mouse. Yep. Yes, exactly 100%. Like that. Like I've seen my cats catch mice, and that is what they do.
That's exactly it.
Let me let you think you're gonna live for a minute, and then got you
kidding.
Again.
Just kidding.
No, it's okay. You can run away now. Gotcha. Kidding.
Yeah. Oh, it was beautiful. It was a master class.
It was.
Oh.
That was awesome.
It was a great race. I mean,
it was exciting.
Yeah. Ah.
Yeah, that was a very exciting race.
It was a very exciting race. You know what's not exciting? How we're going to do in all of our fantasy.
Not good.
No, not good. I did have Rossi in all of mine, so that saves me. But other than that, you got, you got 0 points.
I got no points.
In ours. Not in ours. I don't know about the others, but in ours you got zeros. I got 2, a point for Rossi and a point for Hinch.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I will take my Rossi points happily.
Yeah, you should.
Anything else about that race?
I don't think so. But yeah, we like to do our own bet in addition to our fantasy IndyCar, and we like to post some of that to our social media, which if you don't follow us on social media, you should. So you can find everything on our website, www.fastcarsfastgirls.com. You can find us on Facebook. We are on Twitter at fastcars317. We're on Instagram, fastcarsfastgirls. And on every podcast hosting site.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get to everything you need from our website.
Including, I will say, TuneIn, because on the TuneIn app, you can listen to all the IndyCar radio, the older we broadcast. You can also listen to us if you want to, like.
So you can listen to
some
both.
Some classics.
Some classic IndyCar races. And then us.
It's fine.
No,
do you?
So yeah, you can check all that out. And while you're surfing along on social media, make sure that you check out White Rabbit Copy. They're responsible for our new logo, our new brand, if you will.
Yes, our fancy, fancy business cards.
And we're going to be working with them a lot more in the future as well. So for any of your print and copy needs, make sure you check out White Rabbit Copy.
WhiteRabbitCopy.com.
Yep.
.com. That's old school, too.
Pretty sure that's copyright infringement.
It's fine.
All right, so next week, IndyCars.
Back to back, the final to back.
Yep, back to back to back, and then a couple weeks, and then we're at Indy. So next week, it is the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama.
Barber Motorsports Park.
Now, this is a really well-liked track. It is a fan favorite.
It's quite the fan favorite. I'm excited to go 1 year. The problem is it's so close to Indy for us.
It really is. Like, there was no way that we could pull it off with all the days that we have to have off in May.
Oh my gosh. I think my boss would just start crying. I mean, like, but you're gone. No.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
I think the answer would be no. So
the answer would be like no or find a new job.
Yeah, one of the two. And that's not happening.
So yeah, so not going to happen for us this year, but we will be watching.
Yes.
And the track is 2.38 miles.
Yes.
They do 90 laps. And so it's a distance of 214.2 miles.
Yes. The track itself, 15 turns. There is 80 feet of elevation changes between the lowest point and the highest point on the track.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah. And it's all within like a very nice wooden park.
Very cool.
Yeah, I thought so. I meant to put this up closer. So the creator kind of wanted to have this venue to show off motorcycle racing. And so there's also a very famous museum on grounds.
Oh, very cool. For motorcycles or?
Mostly for motorcycles, but I think now they've kind of
incorporated some other race cars and things as well. But yeah, we'll definitely check that out next year.
Also, apparently there are sculptures, including a spider, a dragonfly, and a Sisyphus character.
Oh. So
that's always exciting to me.
That is cool.
Also, pit lane is on the kind of the outside of the track. It's not like outside of the whole track. You know, usually it's more on that inner part of the track. This time it's on the outside.
Interesting.
I know.
I wonder what the benefits to that are.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I'll be interested to, we'll have to ask some people.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there's any benefit to that, or if that's just kind of how the track was designed.
I mean, maybe it's kind of, because I think it's been used for not just Indy cars, but sports cars race there, motorcycles race there, everything else. So maybe it has to do with motorcycles.
Yeah, so maybe it's something that's more beneficial to motorcycles, and that's why it was designed that way. I mean, interesting.
Not mad at that.
Yeah, not at all. So Scott Dixon holds the lap record. And that is from 2013, and he did a lap in 1:06.775.
Yep.
So, I don't know what that translates to miles per hour, but it sounds fast.
I didn't do the math.
I didn't either.
No.
Nope. All right, so in the past races, 2016, we had, our winner was Pagano, then Rahal, then Newgarden. Prior to the start, Munoz clipped Alocin, and then they collected Hawksworth. So exciting year for them, 2016. Have no idea why two of the three of them don't have a ride at all this year.
Shocking.
I actually do really like Munoz, though. I won't talk shit about him. He's an aggressive driver. I really do like him.
Yeah.
I said that's unfortunate, but Alocin, not surprised at all.
Yeah.
Let's see. That was the only caution of the race in 2016, and Rahal and Pagano battled at the end until Rahal clipped Hawksworth, who was in last place.
Yes.
Unfortunate,
yeah. That kind of sucks. The lap traffic will get, excuse me.
Yeah, that lap traffic will get you.
Especially on a road course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just tough. So last year, the winner was Newgarden, and then Dixon and Pagano. So that was Newgarden's first win in the 2017.
That's right, it was.
Challenge to the championship, or whatever we're calling it. He passed Dixon about turn 15, and that was also Dixon's second.
Fifth place.
Nope, his fifth second place finish at Barber.
Okay.
I wrote this late at night.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. It got flipped.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of, this is one of his bridesmaids, never a bride type deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate.
I'd like to see him do well.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I know that we have talked about it. We talked about it a couple weeks ago that, you know, Dixon, his season started out squirrely and now he's hungry. I think especially with what happened at Long Beach.
Lord.
I think that Dixon really is ready to fuck some shit up. I mean, like when he said, let's have some fun, he's hit his groove with the car.
Yeah, 100%.
He got some bad calls, some things that didn't go his way, some things that, you know, he followed instructions, probably kicking himself for not questioning that. And so I think that, A, it's a good thing that he and Mike Hall have been working together for so many years, because it's going to be real hard to be the guy in Scott's ear next week.
Oh, definitely. 100%.
I think that he's going to challenge just about everything since he didn't this week and it screwed him. And I also think that he's really ready for a win. Like, he's going to...
There's some passion behind the drive.
Yeah, he's going to drive his ass off.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's see. The official hashtag is HIGPA. HIGPA.
All right. Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama.
I do appreciate that at least the hashtags are
easy
to think of. Although, for this week, I had to keep thinking to myself, Toyota Grand Prix, Long Beach.
Yeah, that was too much.
Yeah.
Way too much.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, our picks for this week.
Yes.
So, I'm actually going to say first Pagano, because Pagano didn't even make it through turn one this week. And although I think Dixon is hungry, I think Pagano is as well.
Yeah.
And he has podiumed the last 2 years. In 2016, he actually won. And I think he's ready as well.
Yeah.
He's tired of getting hit by other drivers. And I think he's ready to come out and to just own a race. And Maybe pull a willpower and flip the double birds to everybody.
I mean, you never know.
You never know.
Those French are squirrely. Bitch, I might.
Oh, going back, here was another fun thing we heard over the radio. Right after that, Bourdais had asked something about the Ray Hall incident that took out Pagano. Yeah. And his crew came back and they said, it was your countrymen, but good news is there's nobody in front of your pit box now. and that was just very funny, like just the way that they said that. It was your countrymen, but, your fellow countrymen.
But good news.
But yeah, I just love rather than saying like it was Pageant or whatever, it was your fellow countrymen. It was the other Frenchie here.
It's the other Frenchman here.
Which I think is partially why Bourdais drove so hard, because he was representing all of France.
Then he said, well, now I must carry the French flag.
Right. It is on me now.
Vive la France!
Vive la France! I will carry this with honor for you, Simon.
The tricolor.
Oh. I mean, ours is tri-colored as well.
Theirs is called the tricolor.
Oh, yeah. I always forget that.
Yeah.
I love their flag, actually.
It's very nice.
I'm a big fan of the French flag. I'm a big fan of the French in general.
Yeah.
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 I know the French get a bad rap. A lot of Americans don't like the French, but...
I have no problem with the French.
I have no problem. Well, and my dad loved the French, so I was just always raised loving the French. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the French.
You got no problems with me?
No. All right, so first, I think Pagano.
Yep.
One of my favorite Frenchmen. And then top five, I'm saying Dixon. I don't know that he's going to win or not, because again, always a bridesmaid is never a bride. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, he's not taking any shit from race control next weekend, no. So definitely top five. In fact, I'll be shocked if he doesn't podium.
Yeah.
And then top 10, I'm saying Newgarden.
Okay.
I know he won last year, but I don't know. He got squirrely this last week at Long Beach. And I mean, just really, he didn't do that well this week. He didn't do that well, last week either. So.
He came in first at Phoenix.
He did come in first at Phoenix.
It was St. Pete.
He was like seventh.
The road courses.
Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. You know, Phoenix he did fine. But yeah, the road courses, which are typically where he does better.
Yeah.
Have not been his jam this season, so I think he's still kind of working things out.
Yeah.
And then first out, I'm going to say Jordan King, because he was just fucking around all day today.
And I picked Jordan King for this race.
And not again. Won't make that mistake again.
I did.
I too like to live dangerously.
I like to live. I mean, not first. Obviously, first, I picked Rossi, because I think that this weekend was the start, and this is the momentum he needs, and he's going to build it at least... carry it through Barber and Indy GP. Of course, the 500 is going to be wonky, so we'll see.
Yeah, you never know.
But I think he's got road courses set. I think he knows what to do on road courses. Top five, I also picked Dixon because, again, I think he can win, but maybe that place is haunted or cursed for him. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe George Barber hated, you know, New Zealand and there's a curse. Who knows? Who knows? I did pick Jordan King for top 10 just because up until, I don't know, 3 hours ago, he had been okay at road courses.
Yeah, he'd been doing quite well.
I thought, all right, this will be his third.
Especially for a rookie, yeah.
Yeah, back to back. He didn't have that time off. Like, all right. And so we'll see. I mean, I'm going to stick with it. I like to live dangerously.
Yeah.
And I picked Sato for first out just because, I don't know, he's all over the map. He was in, and I think he's just going to try and do something.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah. So those are mine. As far as our drinking game.
So our drinking game for Barber, anytime that they discuss the elevation change.
Because that's a big damn deal.
It is a big damn deal. So, it's a BFD.
Anytime that they mention that this is the last race before May. And I chose this mainly because a lot of the radio previews have been like, on the road to Indy, runs through Barber Motorsports Park. So I think that they're going to mention a lot, like, well, next is May, and we're going to have May after this, and it's right there. So, I mean, you will be drinking a lot, people.
Yeah. I think you're completely right on that.
I'm just saying,
yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a dangerous game.
It is. Yeah. I'm going to be home, so.
Yeah, have the person who can drive you to the ER for alcohol poisoning on speed dial.
Yeah, go ahead and put that person. Not us.
Not us. But
we are not responsible for whatever happens.
No.
Because you could do this with water.
You do with whatever you want.
I mean, it's fine.
Drink responsibly. And then the final one is anytime they mention the museum that's there.
Or if they, like, show the museum even.
Yes.
You know, like, those long shots of the museum.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still hyped from the race, but...
I am, too. That was just a great race.
I think there's only one thing left to do, though.
I think wave the checkered flag.
We have the checkered flag. What do you got for me?
Well, for the white flag, I don't really know that I have anything.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for Barber, but I'm just giddy for May. We're 2 weeks out from the beginning of May, so, I mean...
Taste of Speedway.
We got Taste of Speedway. We've got Behind the Wheel.
Mutt Strut.
There's Mutt Strut for you. Yeah. So, we got an exciting next couple weeks.
We do.
So, what do you got?
I am excited because next week we're going to be releasing an interview we had with Sabra Cook.
Oh, yes.
And it was... It might be hands down one of my favorite interviews.
Yeah.
It's just a great interview. She's a great driver. I really enjoyed listening to her and talking to her. There's just this really great depth of knowledge. So I'm excited.
Yeah, she is very knowledgeable. She's very personable. So
yeah,
I'm excited and hope that we continue to see her do well.
Very much.
Work her way up the road to Indy.
So
up the ladder.
That's what I'm excited about.
Excellent. Well, thanks for listening.
All right, guys.